I too want to greet you in Jesus' name. I enjoyed being here this morning and hearing the devotional on kindness and the mind-stretching Sunday school lesson, Revelation. I think one of my favorite verses in that passage was verse 11, which is our theme verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. There's this conflict that's been brought out already this morning of good and evil. And that's where my thoughts went this morning, is this conflict between good and evil. And one of the questions in our Sunday school lesson this morning was, what are the keys to victory? What keys to victory enable the saints to overcome the dragon? And we, of course, lifted up Christ. But I think another key to that is this brotherhood and banding together and fighting together against evil. I know that I need this congregation to make it spiritually through life. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Title for this morning's message is Brotherhood Assistance. Now, this morning we passed an offering plate, and that was for Brotherhood Assistance. And that's not the Brotherhood Assistance that I want to look at this morning, because there's another kind. So you can open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. This week I was thinking about a different subject, but I had an experience on Friday that made me think of this story. On Friday, one of my coworkers and I, we were at a job to take out a door. They wanted to move it to another building. It was an old block building, and in the walls of that block building, there were swarms of bees. Now, that might not scare Willie off, but for me, when I see a swarm of bees, I tend to want to go the other direction. And the door we were working on, we needed to go up in a scissor lift and go up to where those bees were. Well, when you're up in a scissor lift, you don't have too much defense against bees. You're kind of right there. Not really any way to get away. So we were a little concerned about this swarm of bees. And so we talked to the job foreman and asked him if he had any bee spray, and he didn't have any. We said, I'll go get some. Well, we were on a bit of a time crunch, and Lloyd and I were standing there trying to consider how we could go ahead and get our work done until the bee spray got there. And the idea popped into my head to get the leaf blower. And I said, Lloyd, I'm going to work, and I want you to stand there with the leaf blower, and you keep the bees back, and I'll do the work. So we actually had the work done before the guy got back with the bee spray. But it made me think of this passage in Nehemiah 4, where there was a job to do, and it was building the wall around Jerusalem, and they faced some conflict. They faced some difficulty. And I want to look at that story this morning and then draw some spiritual lessons for us as a brotherhood here this morning. So Nehemiah chapter 4. And we're kind of breaking in the middle of the story. I wish we had time to read the whole thing. We did discuss it in our Sunday school discussions here not too terribly long ago. But if you remember the story, Nehemiah, he is in Babylon. He's serving the king there. And he hears about how some of the Jews that had returned to Jerusalem are living in Jerusalem, but the wall is still broken down. And it's they don't have the protection around the city. And it's a difficult situation. And Nehemiah was so saddened by this situation that his fellow Jews were in that he was weeping when he was before the king one day, and the king observed Nehemiah weeping, and he recognized this wasn't typical for Nehemiah, and he asked him what was wrong, and Nehemiah told him the situation of his fellow Jews back there in Jerusalem, and he asked the king if he would be able to go back and to restore that wall. And remember the story how there was letters written and timbers were provided and they were able to go back and to build this wall. So we're breaking here into chapter 4 where they're actually in the construction process of working on building this wall. Nehemiah chapter 4, let's start reading in verse 1 and we'll take the time just to read the entire chapter here. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break it down, their stone wall. Verse 4, Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them night, day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I set the people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one of us unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the Habergeons and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear the burdens, with those that laded, every one, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one, had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off your clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. And we'll stop there. So we see this conflict that these people were having. Now we can discuss whether this was a spiritual conflict or if it was a physical conflict. I think it was both. As we can see, the work of God is going forward, but there's also the work of Satan in hindering a physical work. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the spiritual applications to our lives, although we know that in life there's a physical part of our spiritual life that gets lived out. So we have that going on side by side here as well. The first thing I'd like to think about in this story is Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is over here in Babylon. Things are okay for Nehemiah. Maybe not ideal, but they're okay. He has his job there before the king. Why is he even concerned about what's going on over there in Jerusalem? Just let them be. He's okay. Just let them be. I'd like for us to take that as a challenge in our brotherhood this morning. We need to be concerned about the welfare of each other. Because, well, we'll talk about this more later, but we all have our ups and downs. And I just challenge us this morning to not just think about ourselves, but like we heard in our devotions, to be kind, to think about other people and how we can be of a help to them. I think that's what Nehemiah's heart was here. He had a heart for God's work, and when he heard his story, it made him sad. I think another thing we can learn from this story right here in the beginning is when God's work is going on, Satan will be there to hinder. We can just count on that. When the work is going forward, Satan will be there. It doesn't seem like it took very long for Sanballat and Tobiah to see what was happening over there on that wall, that building that was happening, and they showed up right away to inhibit that work. And Satan will use many different tactics to tear down. In this story, these men made psychological attacks. They made fun of the wall. They said, well, if a fox goes up on that wall, it's gonna fall over. And they began to just poke fun at them and make those psychological attacks. And Satan does that to us today. He knows our weaknesses. Maybe it's a mental weakness, or maybe it's a weakness in our minds where he knows that he can plant those seeds of doubt and he can start to take us down. Satan used those today. He finds our vulnerabilities and then he exploits us and attacks us in those areas. Peter warns us about this. I think this verse was quoted in Sunday school. I think, Mr. Clapper, you quoted this verse. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he's out there trying to get us and take us down. He's there to hinder the work. So the attack here that happened in this story, it seems like the attack was made as a whole. But often Satan is a lot more subtle than that. He attacks us maybe individually. And he tries to get individual people to fall. And that's where the importance of the church family is. When one person is attacked or one person is down, the other can lift them up. And our strengths and weaknesses can help to balance each other out and to build each other up in those areas that were weak. In this story, they could see the enemy. They could see Sanballat and Tobiah. They could see who was coming at them. Our battles can be a lot more private. Maybe it's a battle that no one else even knows about. Maybe it's something that we're trying to hide. And the church, the brotherhood, is the place that we can bring those challenges, those situations that we're facing, and we can get help to fortify ourselves for those things. God has and will continue to build this brotherhood, and we can expect Satan to try to destroy that. That's what Satan is about. He's about destroying whatever and whoever he can. We talked about that in Sunday school. I'd like to think about the people here for a little bit. It says here in verse 6 that the people had a mind to work. These people who were working on this wall, who Nehemiah had organized, who had brought together. Back in chapter 3, it tells us all the different people who were working on the different sections of the wall. It seems like Nehemiah had organized that. But the people had a mind to work. And that word mind there has a thought of the heart. It's used figuratively. We're talking about feelings, the will, even our intellect. Basically the center of our thought. That's what's conveyed here in the word mind. And this was a corporate goal, to build the wall of protection. But the heart of the people was to work and to help Nehemiah to build that wall. And if you're in a place of business or a place of work, it doesn't take long for you to figure out the person that's just there for a paycheck or the person who's there because he's enjoying his job, he wants to provide for his family, and he's putting himself into it. It's pretty easy to see whose heart is in the work and whose heart is not. But it says here, the people had a mind to work. Their heart was in it. And they were there to accomplish the project of building this wall of protection. Building this physical wall of protection around them for their families and for their people group. I think another word we could use here is vision. These people had a vision of what they wanted to accomplish. And I know that vision is kind of an overused word, possibly, in our society today. But these people had an idea of what they wanted to accomplish, and they were working at it with God's help, obviously. It took people who could look past that rubble, look past those stones that were just laying on a heap, those things that had been torn down. Nehemiah was one of them, obviously, that inspired the people to, let's do this, let's build this wall. It took vision. And that was Nehemiah. He inspired the people. Let's turn back to chapter 2 and read verse 17 through 20. This is just a little snapshot of, he had come into city at night and he had rode around the city so that nobody would know what he was there doing. And he found places that he couldn't even ride his donkey. And he rallied the people to help him with the vision that he had of rebuilding this wall. Chapter 2, verse 17, this is Nehemiah speaking. He said, "Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build together. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Let's just keep reading. "But when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant and the Amorite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye will do? Will ye rebel against the king? Verse 20, "Then answered I unto them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will rise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." So here Nehemiah had this vision, and he shared that vision with his countrymen. He said, we can do this. With God's help, we can do this, and we can build up this wall. This brotherhood is made up of a diversity of gifts that come together for a common purpose. And I think that's what Nehemiah was doing here. He was rallying the people. He had the vision, and he conveyed that vision to other people and said, we can do this with God's help. And that's where the strength of this brotherhood is in the different visions and goals that we have and blending them together for the building of the church and the kingdom of Christ. But the challenge is here in our mind. And Peter, he writes about this in the early church. It didn't take long for this to pop up, where Satan tried to attack that one mind. Peter says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Peter was writing to the church to admonish them because they were starting to think separately, think differently. And the only way that the work can go forward is when our hearts are blended together in building the kingdom of Christ. And often we can have different ways of thinking about things, but we can help each other when we're willing to open up our mind to the group for input, or maybe it's just the other way, asking someone, did you ever think about something from this angle? And that's where we can build each other up and strengthen each other and sharpen each other as we build together. Third thing I'm going to notice from this group is in verse 9 of chapter 4. It says, these threats were coming at them, these setbacks were coming at them. But verse 9 says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. And I was challenged by the number of times, if you read through the book of Nehemiah here, how many times this story records that when this group faced a difficulty, they sought the face of God. They prayed. They stopped and prayed and committed that to God. Nehemiah was a man of prayer and communication with God. And if we're going to be victorious against the attacks of Satan, we also are going to have to be men and women who are of prayer and who are in communication with God. Nehemiah prayed a beautiful prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1. Let's just turn back and read his prayer. The end of verse 4 says he fasted and prayed before God. So Nehemiah chapter 1. And this was his prayer to God about this work. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 5. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and let thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night. for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and we have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad from among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, and who desire to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king cupbearer. So this is Nehemiah's prayer before he goes into the king, and he's talking to God, and he's interceding to God for himself and for his brethren, that God would pour out their blessing upon them. And he lays out his heart to God, and he acknowledges those sins that they have, but he asks God to forgive them and to keep his promises to them. And he prays again in chapter 2, verse 5. He prays again and asks God to give him blessing in the eyes of the kings, in the eyes of the king. And then in chapter 4, which we read, verse 4 and verse 9, verse 4 says, hear, O our God. Again, talking to God about this difficulty. And then verse 9, where our point comes from, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Prayer is such an integral part of assisting each other on the journey of life. Praying for each other, lifting each other up when we're facing a difficulty, coming to God in prayer. I think about the ones of you in this congregation who have challenged us to more prayer. Thank you for inspiring us in that area. We need to pray for each other more as we talked about in Sunday school, the conflict progressing and getting more and more. How much more should our prayer be in battle against that and praying for each other? Number 4, the size of the project can be tiring and discouraging. In verse 10, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. So the ones who were carrying the building materials had started to get tired, and the difficulty of the project started to wear on them. And on top of that, they were being threatened. Things were looking pretty bleak. But Nehemiah came on the scene as an encourager. He was always rallying and lifting others up. Most of us can find the negative things in life. That's a pretty simple thing to do. But I challenge us to be able to encourage each other and to find the good things in each other and point those things out. Yes, there's times where we have to exhort each other and to call each other higher. But being an encourager, not just coming on the scene, pointing out the negative things, and then walking away, doesn't build each other together. When we can encourage each other, we can find strength. And we need that support group around us. When sometimes in life, it looks like this wall. There's just a bunch of rubbish. Sometimes we face situations like that in life. There's just a mess. And we need the help of our brotherhood to come beside us, encourage us, point out the positive things, and give us the tools we need to pick up and start building again. That's where the benefit of the brotherhood comes in. Number 5, families are what makes up the brotherhood. Verse 13, I think it was interesting how Nehemiah arranged the people. He arranged them by families. I'm not exactly sure how he did this, but it blessed me to think about this project and each family taking their place on the project of building the wall. It seems like they were together there in families. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of how the church functions. Each family member, each family contributing to this building. And Nehemiah used this idea of family as a rallying call for the project. If you look over in verse 14 that we read, towards the end of the verse, it says, Be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So Nehemiah used the family idea to rally the forces and say, let's come together, let's keep working. In a brotherhood, it's not just about us. It's about others making it successfully as well. And every family member contributes to that. There's a much bigger picture than just me. It's not just if I make it. It's my family and my brothers and sisters that make it, who are victorious. Our daughters and our wives, our sons. And we need that brotherhood to help us to fill out our flat spots, because we all have them. It's a challenge to us fathers. How are we doing at being the leaders in our families? Are we stepping up and standing in the gap? We're standing in the front of the line, so to speak. Are we doing that? And it's not just fathers, of course. Mothers and children, you fill an important spot as well, as you contribute in your family, which contributes to the church. So I just encourage you in that, to be a builder where you are, and to build with your family. It was beautiful yesterday to stop by the church. I couldn't be there very much. But to see families there with the children working together on a church project, I think it's such an encouragement to us. Number 6, I take this point from verse 16 through 18. Brotherhood is both offensive and defensive. The enemy was a real threat to the success of their mission here. But the mission was to rebuild the wall. And the enemy did not care how he stopped the building of the wall. It was just important that the building stopped. And as we look at this story from different angles of attack, there's discouragement, there's intimidation, and of course there's conflict, were ways that the enemy used to stop the building of this wall. And Satan's not picky with how he hinders the growth of the church. If it's conflict inside, which often happens in churches, brothers and sisters who cannot get along, he's okay with that. Maybe he uses forces outside to press on the church to stop the building. Or maybe it's just distractions to take us away from our purpose. All of them accomplish the same thing. Nothing is being built. And the solution here in the physical battle was to fortify themselves with physical weapons. So half of them stood there with weapons, and the other half worked. But even though the ones that worked, they were carrying swords. So they split up their defense in this project. But they realized that defense was important, but it wasn't the only way to keep moving forward. If they just took defensive position, then nothing got built. So they chose to be defensive while they were building. I think that's important in brotherhood, if you understand the point that I'm making here. If it's just all on defense, then nothing gets built. But when those two come together, defense and offense, then the kingdom of Christ can be built. There's moving forward, there's something that's happening. We must keep building. Number 7, even though our work is at different spots, we rally under one call and one commander. Verse 19 through 20. I'm just going to read those verses again. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. So you get this picture of people working on this wall, and they're spread out down the wall, all working on their different spot. Verse 20. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. This picture was a blessing to me. This project is much larger than any one person. Same with building the church. But as you step back and observe this wall, everyone working at their spot, one stone at a time, one on top of the other, it probably seemed like slow progress. But when everyone worked at their spot, kept putting stones on top of the other, the wall is going up. It's happening. And it's such a beautiful thing to see believers come together, all taking their place and building their wall. But I think it's important that it says here, when the trumpet blows, then everyone came together and they fought together as a unit. So that's how it is in our brotherhood. We all have our different place, but we come together and we fight together, obviously a spiritual battle, but we fight together and we run to each other's aid. And under, obviously, the commander of Jesus Christ. We started with the verse from Revelation that we serve under Christ. I want to think about three keys to brotherhood assistance here yet, in conclusion, for just a couple minutes. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to move through these in 5 minutes. So stay with me. Ephesians chapter 4. I think we'll take time just to read these verses because they can say it much better than I can. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man and unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We'll stop. I do want to read through verse 18 yet. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. We could have preached a sermon out of Ephesians chapter 4 here, but I want to just take three keys for brotherhood assistance from this passage. And the number one is found in verse 2. It's humility. With lowliness, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Humility is a key ingredient in being able to help each other in this journey of life. If you think about the opposite, which is pride, it can just do so much damage to this circle. But with humility, things can be built. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul uses the analogy of the body and how it's easy for us to say, well, we don't need the foot, or we don't need the less comely parts. But Paul challenges us that the church functions as a body. When one member suffers, all the members suffer. And it's the idea of working together to build the church, like we saw back in Nehemiah. Number two, there's a lot of different gifts listed here in this chapter. And I think a key to brotherhood assistance is expression and appreciation for the diversity of gifts. Everyone brings a different gift, and they need to be expressed and appreciated for what they contribute. And then number three, the unified purpose. Verse 13 is such a beautiful verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I just love how that verse calls our attention upward to the measure and the stature of Christ. That's the pursuit of all of us, And as we band together as a brotherhood, as we assist each other on this journey of life, that is our goal of becoming more and more like Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.
Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you so much for the privilege it is to be able to assemble with your body of believers and to be encouraged and strengthened. Lord, we just thank you for the gifts that each person brings to this assembly. I pray that you bless them for that. Lord, I just pray you help us to blend our gifts and to, for the purpose of building each other up. Just go with us today. Keep us in your care. We ask this in Jesus' name.